I'll just read the verse and we can discuss it then. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, what is this baptism of the Spirit we're looking here at here? There's baptisms mentioned many times in the Word of God. There was the baptism of John. I'm sure you've all heard of that. That was a baptism unto repentance. That was not for Christians. That was for the nation of Israel. That was really in effect when they said, God is right. He is right in bringing judgment upon us as a nation. And they would leave the place of that nation which was under judgment and associate themselves with John the Baptist or John Baptist. Then the second thing that we would all be familiar with is Christian baptism. Who doth hinder that I should be baptized, the man would say, doesn't he? The Ethiopian eunuch, we remember the occasions when they were baptized with water. That's not what this is here. This is not water baptism on this verse. But this takes us back to the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God was really given to those that were gathered there waiting for the promise that the Lord had given them. How do you and I come into this body? Is it done over and over and over again? Go ahead, John.
A help on that is the word baptized. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The tense of that word is past tense. It has happened. It's considered done. The Apostle Paul is speaking here to the saints of at the Corinthian church. Were they there on the day of Pentecost? No, they weren't. But they were baptized into the one body. It's considered as being done on that day that we read of in Acts chapter 2.
I think a good translation, maybe Mr. Darby's, instead of before by one Spirit are we, you'll see the rendering for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. This is a divine work that is done by the Spirit of God. You and I have absolutely nothing to do with this. When we come to the Lord Jesus and we recognize that we needed to be saved and in faith put our trust in the Lord Jesus, what we find is that the Spirit of God, let's say a man or a young lady was saved last night, what they will discover is that they had part in this one baptism. And you say to yourself, well, how is that possible? Well, last night some of us were talking and you said, you know, that same young man or young lady who gave their heart to the Lord last night put their trust in a work that took place over 2,000 years ago. We often speak about the efficacy of the work of the cross, meaning that it has its same full measure to save you today as it did when it actually took place. So when the Spirit of God came as a divine person at Pentecost and that Spirit fell upon men, we are recognized as being part of that baptism or having part in that baptism. And it is a one-time baptism. And every man and woman that comes to the Lord Jesus finds that that divine work was done for them as well.
I think, John, that I'm helped by what you're saying when I look at it as a historical fact. This is an event that has taken place. My wife and I have four children. When the fourth was born, when Rebecca was born, the family had already been formed. We had Kim, and we had Patrick, and we had Christopher. Rebecca didn't have to do anything to become part of it. It was through birth, that natural birth, that she was a member of our family. Well, here we have this wondrous truth of the one body of Christ. Now, let us remember Let us not be narrow in our thinking. Every true child of God is a member of the body of Christ. Amen. We need to recognize and realize that. And our affections, they need to be far broader than just the group of ones that we fellowship with. There are many, many dear Christians. We can't walk with many of them. We know that. There's principles that come in. But when we find those who belong to the Lord, we should love them, shouldn't
Amen.
We?
Amen.
What is the condition that we may gather together, like we read in Matthew 18, verse 20? I think it's very important to realize first that, of course, we have to be saved. We must be saved. That's the first condition in order to gather together like we do. Here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, we read, we are baptized to one body. So what does it mean, actually? It's a passive action, because we all know that if we are being baptized, it's a passive action. We are buried with Christ. It's not we who actively choose to be buried. No, the Lord does it. And maybe we can read also again Matthew 18, verse 20. It says, we are gathered together unto my name. What does it mean, unto my name? It's a passive action. The Lord, He gathers us together. It's not we who choose to be gathered together. And if we read in the same verse in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, we are baptized to one body. And if I read the King James translation, it says it right already. Brother Tony Tate said it already. Verse 13. We've been made to drink into one spirit. It's a passive action. So it's not we who do it, but it's the Lord who does it.
Somebody might not be clear what he's saying, a passive action. Let me ask you something. How many of you here could baptize yourself? What had to happen when you were baptized as far as water baptism was concerned? Someone else had to baptize you. You don't baptize yourself. It was not the action of yourself, but it is the action of another, I think. Is that what you're saying to us? Yeah. John?
Baptism gives this, is a submersion. So you're submerged into this one body, just as your family that you were describing to us, Chuck, has. You become a member of a family, born into a family. You're submerged into that family. But what is this in the same verse here where it speaks of, and have been all made to drink into one spirit? How does that fit with this submersion?